as we have the Lord's table today, which is an offshoot of the Feast of Passover that pointed to the future Messiah that we look back to in remembrance of what he has done. If you're interested in studying more about the feasts of the Old Testament and how they point to Christ's first coming, and actually there's some also teaching within the feast concerning his second coming, I'd like to put a plug in for one of our Sunday school classes. I asked Mike McHenry if he would lead a class on the feast. And they meet up there at Sunday mornings at 9:30. And if you'd like to join them, they'd love to have you. And they had a teaching time of one of the feasts this last Friday night, the Feast of Tabernacles. So some of you are able to go to that. Maybe that can happen again sometime. I want to pick up where we left off in the book of Revelation. We're just kind of marching through and going until time says no more. And then we pick it up where we left off the following week. Today we're going to pick it up in chapter 1, verse 9. And just as a point of review, remember that right from out of the chute in verse 1 of chapter 1, John's book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ to the angel from the Father to John, is a reference to the book of Daniel. And in other words, Revelation in many ways is picking up the rest of the story that was started with Daniel, especially the image that was given to Nebuchadnezzar in a vision. And the book of Revelation finishes that vision as it goes to the ten-toed nations that we saw in that vision. So those of you that were with us, you know what we're talking about. We pick it up in verse 9. As John encounters Jesus Christ in verses 9 through 20, as reference was already made to the book of Daniel in verse 1, throughout these next verses, you're going to see references really to the book of Daniel again. Because these very depictions of the revelation of Jesus Christ, his appearance to John, are connected to the book of Daniel. And so I will give you the Daniel reference that actually ties in to the depiction that we see of Jesus in this particular passage. So in verse 9, we have this: I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He was suffering, as his readers were as well, under the Roman Empire. He had been exiled on the island of Patmos, and he says that I am partnering with you in suffering and in persecution on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, that ultimately the suffering was for him. And that is something that we must remember throughout the ages, that any persecution that we face for righteousness' sake is for the sake of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 10, he says this: I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, in church history, especially a little bit later in church history, after the writing of the book of Revelation, the first day of the week became commonly known as the Lord's Day, and it is that to this day that we call Sunday the Lord's Day. Why? Because the first day of the week commemorates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the emphasis of him being the one that is living, who was and is, and now is to come. He's the life giver. The Lord's Day is remembrance. Today is a remembrance to all of us that life comes from him. What he has done on the cross, our future life, is given to us by him. But he was in the Spirit. The question is, what does he mean by being in the Spirit? I'd like to read a quote from a guy named Mark Hitchcock. He's an adjunct professor at Dallas Seminary right now and is a pastor in Edmond, Oklahoma. And he writes this, and I think this is correct. He's actually quoting Robert Thomas, who is a leading commentator on the book of Revelation. Robert Thomas says, in this kind of condition, the natural senses, mind and spirit, are not operative in relation to and responsive with the natural world. God brings a man's spirit into direct contact with the invisible spiritual world and with the things in God's own mind, yet accommodated to finite human perception. It's an excellent definition. The Apostle Paul experienced this as recorded in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, when he was taken up into the third heaven,